Hello, and welcome to another episode of Jaded Gamercast. For those that are, you know, astute listeners, you will notice that it is Nathan starting the show and not Lang, because we actually have a first for Jaded Gamercast, that being that Lang is ill and not going to be joining us. Now, he says ill. I think it has more to do with Star Wars The Old Republic, Early Access. I'll let you all be the judge. So, if you can tell... if you can hear any background noise, that would be the third world you're hearing, the third world where the national sport is actually cockfighting. So if you hear a lot of roosters crowing in the background, that is exactly why. So with me in the third world is my lovely wife, Terry.
Hello.
Ooh, sounding all sultry and sexy tonight. Well, today. So, normally, you know, we were supposed to be recording this in the evening with Lang, but he let me know that he was, in fact, feeling ill. So, instead, we are recording just before noon, local time. So, you know, in terms of alcohol, we realized we had none where we were staying, and it being an hour-round trip just to go to a liquor store, we opted to instead just enjoy non-alcoholic Coca-Cola from the Third World. Delicious.
Better than you can get in North America, for sure.
So. That is the truth. So, God, I'm normally not the one driving conversation. So, if this episode is a lot more rambly and ranty than usual, hey, I aim to please. In terms of hobby activity, I'm not even going to ask Terry because she hasn't done anything since before she was pregnant with a kid. So, for me, though...
We're working on getting our new event going pretty quick here. So my hobby activity was doing things like making sure our lines of credits were paid off so we can book halls and, you know, actually run another event come spring. I think that should count.
It has nothing to do with the hobby. Events,
events.
I tell you. okay, well, for me, I did bring some stuff with me down to Third World to Stan. And, you know, so for me, all I've had the chance to do so far is put some base coats on, some more blood letters, start the dry brushing. But the biggest problem, you know, the biggest impediment that I have is literally from where I'm sitting, I just look over my shoulder and there's the ocean. So it is very hard to be motivated to sit and paint when at any time I can just wander down to the beach and get sunburned like a motherfucker.
Yeah, okay, you can stop bragging now.
No, never.
So we have some really interesting and pertinent stuff to talk about recently.
Higher learning first.
Higher learning. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Geez, I tell you, it's like she's never even listened to the show, which I believe you haven't. Hi, Mom.
I listen to the show more than you do.
Hey, that's actually true. I haven't listened to last week's episode or the very, very drunk Kyle and Lang Lord of the Rings episode.
That was a great episode. If you are listening to this episode, I think maybe you could pause, go back to that episode if you haven't yet heard it, and do enjoy it. It's quite a piece of work there.
See, I do find, like, is it just me or does the show get better when I'm off? Because, I mean, like, this is Lang's first episode away, but I mean, for me, I'm up to, like, almost five episodes away. Because, I mean, there was, like, too drunk to talk in Vegas. Flu. There's, you know, jet-lagged like a motherfucker. There was the Kyle episode.
I mean, because Lang tries harder to create content and you do very little. Maybe it's telling about what you bring to the show.
Oh,
maybe that's
zing.
What it is.
All right. So, moving on. Beat you later for that one. It's third world. I'm allowed. Higher learning this week. Last week was Bretonnia. See, just because I didn't listen doesn't mean I didn't read the Coles notes. So that brings us to 40K this week. And after Blood Angels comes what, Terry?
Chaos Demons?
God, is there even anything that we could tell Chaos Demon players other than sorry?
You know what we can tell non-Chaos Demon players? Everyone should play Chaos Demons. That way my tower... awesome again. Awesome. I love playing Chaos Demons.
Static gun lines with a lot of heavy firepower. Sure do love armies that just drop into rapid fire range and can't do anything but wave.
No, but like I think the Chaos Demon book is, I mean, it was Games Workshop attempt. Like, they're trying to clearly, you know, create something new. And I like it when they try new things. I do. I really do. But it just... in the meta of the game, you have an army that just doesn't work like any other army. Mm-hmm. And in the 41st millennium, shooting is still crazy. Shooting is still king. That's why guard are still amazing, right?
Yeah, it's
shooting.
Not guard combat ability that has people scared.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I mean, you know, and here's the thing. I've said it on this show a number of times, and I stand by it, and I truly do believe that the Chaos Demon Codex for Warhammer 40,000 was a complete afterthought. It was quite clear from the direction that they were moving in with fantasy that they wanted to split up all of the Chaos elements into their different books because that morass of the Hordes of Chaos army book with both demons and humans and beastmen that could take anything was just so confusing for players of that faction as well as players against it. Because, I mean, when I show up to a beastman army who's got a unit of warriors of chaos and some demons, you know, it's kind of hard for me to know, is this guy even playing legally or is he cheating? So that direction was going to be pulled, clearly. And to me, it feels like the Chaos Demon Codex was some bean counter saying, hey, but if we do the same thing in 40K, we can get people to buy two codexes. And that's really what that codex felt like, because when you look at it, it has some very interesting mechanics. The demonic assault mechanic is kind of interesting. And, you know, the all-reserve-style Tyranid army that I play, as well as, you know, that, you know, what is it, Black Blow Fly on Bell of Lost Souls finally got on board, you know, all-reserve Tyranids. But they prove that an all-reserve list that kind of comes from all sides and deep strikes can win. And it can win good games, and it can be effective. The problem with the Demons of Chaos book is that they have nothing that can assault the turn it comes out of reserves. Everything is deep strike, so they don't have anything to threaten flanks, because you can't risk deep striking close to a board edge for fear of mishapping, so you have no outflanking. You have nothing that can assault the turn it comes out. So your entire army just shows up and waves and hopes to God you drew the right kind of army and that, you know, they're a heavy combat army or even a mix army, so that way you can assault. Because if you drop into a guard army or a Tau army or even a gunline marine army, you're going to get shot to shit and you're not going to have anything left because it's half your army that comes in. And even beyond that, the other kind of fucked up thing with demons is that you don't even get to pick what half an army. You get to divide it up and you roll a dice and there's a 1 in 3 chance that you get fucked and all of your support elements come in first.
But I think that's what makes the Chaos Demon so interesting as a book. Like, there are such interesting elements within that codex where you're just like, as a tournament organizer, I say, you know what, that would be a kind of cool scenario. Or, you know what, that, you know, that tactic is very interesting for Tyranids. Or, mm-hmm. You know what, like, they're because they tried so many new things, there are elements of genius in there. But when you package it together in the Chaos Demon Codex, boy, is it ugly and terrible. So yeah. I think.
So moving away from the rant, you know, because the whole purpose of going back around and doing this was to actually give useful tactical information on playing a Chaos Demon army. So, Terry, in your opinion, because you've actually played against Chaos Demons more than I have. I've only ever played against one Chaos Demon army. You've played at least two that I can remember. What are things that, in your experience, Chaos Demon players should avoid?
I think one of the things is, and I say this a lot in terms of general tactics, but you can't assume best case scenario when you're playing this list. If you prepare this list for worst case scenario every time, like you don't get the half you want, or you don't get the turn you want, or your reserves come on poorly, you'll be better. I mean, I think this list is, it's a true general's list. Because there is so much that is so fallible in this list, there is so much that is so unpredictable in this list, it is in the hands of someone who can manage that unpredictability and someone who can harness that unpredictability to turn their opponent, you know, upside down and catch them on the back foot. It's a wonderful list for that, kind of the same way that Dark Elder are a really great list for that. But, like, for example, in both times I played against on Chaos Demons, I was playing my static gunline list, and that list is totally, totally crappy in 40K right now. It's the, like, one of the worst builds, except when it comes against Chaos Demons, because my tactics do not change based on mm-hmm. my opponent's list. Whereas if you're taking a list, I don't know, more standard, like a bike list from Space Marines or something like that, you might be able to throw your opponent off. If they're playing a reactionary list, they mm-hmm. might not be aware of how to deal with it. But I don't know. I feel like this codex is old enough that everyone already knows how to deal with it. Like, I think it's mostly about playing a lot of games with this list, knowing what you like and what you don't like, and just playing it for fun. I think that's the other thing. This is a great...
you are not playing Chaos Demons because you want to win tournaments. That is the truth.
No, but it's one of those things where I talk to you and I joke about how you play your fantasy demons. Nobody plays fantasy demons and says, you know what? I play these demons because I love demons. The fluff is so compelling and they're so awesome.
Love chaos fluff, and the demon models are awesome.
If they sucked, you wouldn't play them.
Maybe. I play wood elves. You can't say that. I play wood elves and tyranids. You can't make that claim.
When's the last time you pulled them out? Anyways.
Zing.
Yeah, you shelved them when they started to suck.
Well, my wood elves? No, I shelved them when I finished my demons. It's different.
But, I mean, I think that's the thing is, with 40K, if you're playing demons, you obviously love them. So, you know, enjoy them for that. I think also go and find tournament organizers who enjoy playing narrative events, because I think you can really enjoy that. And make sure you voice it out, because I think a lot of TOs are not writing scenarios with demons in mind. Because you're such a small percentage.
Oh, but I mean, you see that with all the off-the-wall armies. Not to throw anyone under the bus, but even the last Onslaught that we went to, Ward wrote a scenario where he'd completely forgotten about ogres. You know, he had a scenario, and it was just like, you know, you can only claim objectives if you're infantry-sized. Well, fuck, that only means Noblar. So it's just like, and how many ogre players actually play them? So, I mean, it's one of those things where a lot of tournament organizers can forget about these sort of smaller fringe armies. But if I was going to give any actual, you know, useful advice, not just play it because you love it, come on, let's be honest.
My advice when I play games with people, generally, if you're going to play pretend with grown men, enjoy it first, please.
Playing pretend is serious business. Mm. So, I mean, if I was going to give any legitimate advice, I would say that, you know, with your Chaos Demon Codex, unfortunately, you do have one of those older books where a lot of your options are just kind of terrible. You know, like Beasts of Nurgle, don't take Beasts of Nurgle. Never take Beasts of Nurgle. So for me, what I would recommend is what you really need to do is you need to build a list that is going to be able to deal with your big drawback. And that is, you know, well, your two big drawbacks. The first being that you don't have complete control over what comes down first on first turn. And your other being that you cannot, assault right away. So, I mean, what you need to do is you either need to take things that are fast enough, like Greater Demons with Wings, Bloodthirsters really good, Demon Princes with Wings, again. So that way you can actually drop outside of your opponent's rapid fire range and still get a turn two charge, you know, because you're basically trying to limit the amount of firepower that can come get shot at you. Or you need to just say, fuck it, I'm going to take things that can absorb the punishment. So I'm going to take 10-man Plaguebearer units, or I'm going to take a 20-man Bloodletter unit. You know, you're going to take big units that have just the sheer fucking weight of bodies to absorb the horrendous amount of casualties that you're going to take. And I think that's really how you need to build the list. And the other thing is you really need to, you know, and I'm going to use the term spam, but you need to almost like mirror your demon list. So make sure that you have two of everything and you just split it right down the middle. So that way, regardless of how that dice roll goes at the beginning, you're getting the exact same force in with the exact same kind of reserve. So that way it's not going to be an issue of, these are my heavy hitters designed to take it, these are my support elements designed to finish fights, and oh look, all my support elements came down first and got hosed. Now I'm fighting for my, you know, I'm fighting for a draw. So I mean, I think those are the, you know, that would be the advice that I would give a demon player.
Advice. How would you say? Ooh. Well, I mean, I think ultimately you don't necessarily have control over when your stuff comes in, but I think everyone plays them like they're going to assault turn two, or everyone, like, are you not remembering that we are playing this game with cover. Hopefully we are playing this game where you have an invulnerable save. Hopefully, you know, with the cover that's on the table, there is area terrain, there is building terrain. You know, I feel like if you're taking high toughness models, and you do have access to many high toughness models, you can...
Yeah, you can take five in an army.
Okay, five in... You've got a really great tar pit army in Demons. You've got a really great sit on objectives, take your time, I'm going to drop my guys at the very end of the table, you've got to come get me.
Mm-hmm.
A bait kind of argument, but I've never seen demons played like that before, and I feel like playing counter to that, mm-hmm. that, you know, corn, blood for the blood god kind yeah. of mentality might be a viable strategy.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I think that big units of plague bearers are full of win. I mean, good lord, they are toughness 5, 5 plus invulnerable with a 4 plus feel no pain. They're literally the single hardest, toughest troop to kill in the game, you know. Missile launchers, they still get to pull feel no pain off of because they're not double toughness, because they're base toughness 5, unlike Plague Marines, and they're pretty survivable. And, you know, and I do think that that's interesting, because if you were to come up with, you know, big sort of tar pit units like Plague Bearers.
I mean, like, people forget that this rule exists. I've gone to ground with Kroot before.
And then your opponent just target fixates. And you're like, oh, they're getting a 3-plus cover save. I just have to shoot them more. Like, that'll do it.
Like, I mean, with terrain and a 5-plus toughness 5, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're still gonna win out.
Going to ground, you're getting a 3-up cover save with a 4-up feel no pain. I mean, that's basically Terminator armor on a basic troop. But no, I mean, you know, you do that, you have a couple of heavy-hitting counter-assault units like Blood Crushers or Fiends of Slaanesh, and then you just send chaff, you know, at your opponent to distract him. You know, things like Demon Princes and Greater Demons would make excellent chaff, because at the end of the day, they don't claim, you know, they're not scoring units, so you can camp out on your objectives winning the game all day long. You've got counter-charging units should something actually engage you. Meanwhile, you're just getting in his face. You know, I think that's a pretty okay list.
Demon Prince's models, too, are pretty boogie-boogie on the table.
I love the Demon Prince model so much that I keep trying to find a way to work it into my fantasy list, because, I mean, they're phenomenal in 40K. In fantasy, it's just like, well, why wouldn't I pay 100 points more for a greater demon? Because they're competing for that same slot, but it's just like, good lord, I love that model. It's a beautiful model. It's massive. It's a big plastic kit. So, yeah, I guess that would be Terry. Closing comments on Chaos Demons. How would you play him? How would you play him?
Oh, I would play him to have fun. I'd play him to counter the meta. I mean, like, seriously, if you're going to play him in a way that you enjoy him. And I'm going to say that about every army that I'm ever forced to talk about in any higher learning segment.
You know, I think we'll just start getting you on a fantasy higher learnings, because at least then you'll be interesting when you're just like, nah, fucking fantasy, it's
fantasy
terrible.
Sucks.
Dwarves, you know the problem with dwarves? They're fucking stupid. That's the problem with dwarves. No, but I mean, for me, honestly, I think that's a good idea. I think that, you know, running counter meta is pretty good. I don't think demons are the army that you want to play for the table with, simply because you're going to take such horrific casualties on the way down. One final thing, though, is if you do want to play a sort of fun, grind-em-out kind of army, look at Epidemius. I think he is absolutely to die for in a mono Nurgle Chaos Demon list. The only problem with mono Nurgle Chaos Demon is play, you know, that list would require shitloads of Plague Bearers, and they are the only pewter, not even fine crap, pewter core demon choice.
You may even fall in love with the 3 poses available to you, so.
Hey, listen, there are 7 poses in your codex. In my experience, you will only ever get 5 of them. The same 5 over and over every box you buy.
You're so funny when you look at like the codex or you look at pictures of other people's and
God,
all you do I look
on the back of the box and I'm like, why isn't that one in any of the 4 boxes I bought? No, 5 boxes. Good lord. You know, and it's just like you open the codex, like I was convinced there were only 6 poses, and then I open the codex, I'm like, what do you mean there's like 8 poses of Plague Bearers? This is bullshit.
That's because Bits ordering is a loss leader. They couldn't afford to do it anymore, so.
Well, you know, I think the biggest problem with Bits, you know, would be like piracy, right?
Piracy.
People just, you know, casting
their
own.
Cast their own, right?
Like, or, you know, hey, segue. Hey, Terry, what's our topic?
Well, there was an article posted, kind of vague and typical of Bell of Lost Souls.
Hey, when you don't have content, just make a vague posting and get your comments going.
Yeah, keep them engaged. But seeing as we're in the third world, where I've been pitched all sorts of Hello Gritty toys or the Batman gun and handcuff set.
Oh, it also had a knife with the Batman logo on it. That was pretty good. Apparently there's a new game they have here and merchandise for it called Bird Madness. It's about a bunch of birds whose eggs were stolen by marmots, I think.
Marmots?
Oh, It's hilarious.
So counterfeiting is commonplace out where we are. Asia is, you know, obviously king. And Bell basically posted this article about how counterfeiting is bad for the game, and...
No, they didn't even say that. They're just like, oh, we see these fly-by-night counterfeit operations come up all the time, but our hobby's been safe up until now. Dun-dun-dun!
Danger!
And then they just, like, that was their article, and they didn't even send a link so people could have a look at this stuff, which, to be fair, I think Games Workshop would have sued them into fucking oblivion.
Probably. But, I mean, I think one of the things is that you... I don't know, the interesting part of that whole post was everyone who, some of the first comments, people were just saying things like, dude, if their quality was good enough, I'd buy from them.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to ask yourself at a certain point, at what point things are counterfeit and what point are things a legitimate extension of the hobby, right? Like, people are buying models from
Mantic and Avatars of War,
Mr. Dandy. Are those? Would you consider those counterfeit at all? Like new shoulder pads, or brass etching, or you know? I feel like there's a certain point where the line between counterfeit and hobby supplement gets really, really blurred.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's actually a really good point because, you know, at the end of the day, right now, today, there are people who are counterfeiting their own Games Workshop product. I mean, I've seen a guy, basically he bought one box of 5 Phoenix Guard and then made himself a horde of 60 because he had resin and he had casting supplies and he just decided to do that. And his local G-Dub was kind of inept, so he's cleaning his own, like, fucking self-made resin ones. And this is before Finecast even existed. Mm-hmm. Cleaning his own self-made resin Phoenix Guard in the store and no one's saying anything. And I'm just like, dude, really? You know, so it's just like there are people that are doing this.
Additional arms.
Oh, shit, yeah. I mean, I bought my Swarm Lord is a Forge World model with bone sword arms. Well done on the spilling. You were not even drinking alcohol.
Sorry.
But anyway, you know, he's a Forge World Hive Tyrant with bone sword arms purchased from, I think, Mr. Dandy. I can't remember. I've purchased from so many different ones. I mean, I have Turvagon conversion kits from Chapter House Studios. Sitting in a box waiting for me. I've got Imgarl heads. I've got
none of these people have sponsored us. We're just talking about something purchased.
This is literally just stuff that I've purchased. You know, so it's just like, you know, of course I've bought the sort of resin bits, you know, and I think, I don't know, like it kind of gets to the point of when are you buying something because Games Workshop doesn't provide it, like bone swords or like Turvagon conversions or Imgarl heads. And because these are the things that I bought. I've even bought a Mycetic Spore, you know, so it's just like, I'm buying these things because Games Workshop doesn't provide them. If they did, odds are good. I just go into my closet, grab some wrapped up product. Oh yeah, that's one thing. You know, I don't know if Lang and I talk about it a lot, but it's just like when you work for Games Workshop, you just acquire product and you just slowly just kind of keep the stocks changing. So it's just like you'll exchange wrapped box for wrapped box and keep it in until you're ready. So I mean, if Games Workshop had it, I'd just grab a wrapped box. I'd grab it, you know, play the official model, because at the end of the day, I find that even though I can buy, you know, Space Wolf Thunder Wolves from Mr. Dandy, when I set them side by side with the Games Workshop Thunder Wolf, they look like shit. And that's what I find. The biggest thing is with all of these, you know, sort of supplementary ones is like when you compare them to the big boss, they look like shit. I mean, even ones that specialize in armies, like Mantic Games. Mantic Games has their own game.
I don't necessarily tell the difference between Mantic skeletons and G-Dub skeletons.
But you can, because a Mantic skeleton is nothing but bones with a goofy hat and a spear, just like Tomb King ones, to be fair. Yes, Tomb Kings. Vampire Count skeletons, on the other hand, have, you know, they look like they've been raised from a battlefield. It's just like you look at the extra amount of details that GW puts on new models compared to what they did 15, 20 years ago, and you can tell it. So, I mean, that's why for me, I will choose, you know, to get my fix straight from the source instead of going to some shady back alley.
You've always been a brand purchaser, right? Like, I've posted about how... My Tau Army is approximately the cost of 2 Prada handbags. And if you're not familiar with Prada handbags, they're like $400 handbags. Not like I would ever use a $400 purse, but like, holy crap. I've sunk a lot of money in that army. And I don't necessarily think that... Let's say, okay, fine. Let's forget about counterfeit Lamassu's because you can only buy 3. Let's actually talk about... let's talk about the thing that you want to be able to buy are affordable models. Games Workshop, you know, it's different than saying, you know, I can't buy Thunderwolf Cav, or I can't buy this, or I can't buy that. It's like saying, well, I can't afford to buy Games Workshop models, but I want to play this game.
You know, and I think that's a good point, because, I mean, as we all know, with Games Workshop clamping down on exports from Europe, Australia is getting fucked right now, as we speak. They are begging for it to stop.
The safe word is banana, but it's not working.
Yeah. Problem is, Games Workshop forgot what the safe word was.
Maybe it's Lamassu.
Maybe it is Lamassu.
But like, I think with anything, like, I feel like the free market, and I mean, I think you've demonstrated this. We do have a free market. We do have many choices in terms of where we can purchase our models and where we can purchase our miniatures and where we choose to purchase our miniatures. You know, mm-hmm. Some people go with Mantic. Some people like the look of the models. Some people like the price point. Some people like both, and hooray for them. They can actually enjoy those. You obviously prefer Games Workshop
mm-hmm.
models.
Mm-hmm.
You will always prefer Games Workshop models, and I appreciate that. I mean, like, you know, Jess Goodwin sculpts are second to none. For obvious reasons.
Oh, that is the truth. Jess, god of win.
Except for nipples on everything. He really likes to sculpt nipples. But, you know, I think that, you know, being brown and being cheap, there's a certain element where I'm just like, okay, well, if Games Workshop really wants to charge me $1 a point for certain models, and there are models where it feels like it's close enough, right? Like, was it Fantasy Gold Swords?
The only reason people bitch about Gold Swords is the price did not change between pewter and plastic. Mm. And that is why everyone was just like, you know, up in arms about it. I'm like, but you're getting a better model for the same price.
Yeah. See,
or like, I just like,
and they call me the Games Workshop apologist.
Yeah.
And this is new, but I think that, I don't know, I feel, as a tournament organizer, and I've had people come to my events and say, okay, do I need to have, you know, all Games Workshop range models, or do I need to, you know, I think ultimately, if you're enjoying the models, you like the look of them, and you want to try to play them in an official capacity, you know, check with the TO, but... counts as works for me as well as works for a lot of other tournament organizers. The majority of your models should be Games Workshop if, for example, Games Workshop is supporting the event, absolutely, but I'm not going to say, hey, you know, your Philippines bought, you know, Thunderwolf Cav are not welcome here, the way I'm going to tell some guy that his own, like, scratch-built models
mm-hmm.
are not welcome at our event if he's put the time into it.
Well, you know, and that's the thing, though, is you know, at the end of the day, I think as long as the guy's willing to put in the extra effort after that, because, I mean, fuck, we know this is expensive. But, you know, as Lang and I always go on about, paint your shit. You know, so it's just like, you know, I don't give a shit where your Thunderwolves came from, whether they're Mr. Dandy, whether they are all Canis Wolfborn pewter ones, because I know a guy that did that, by the way. Fucking the moment the Space Wolf Codex came out, he bought 6 Canis Wolfborns to make a unit of Thunderwolf Cav. And I'm just like, dude, that's like $70 a model. What the fuck is wrong with you? But anyway, I digress. You know, regardless
like
of what it is.
$70 model, like looking down at your nose at other people.
Oh, I'm not. Are you kidding me? I think I would do that over Mr. Dandy's. But anyway, you know, I look at those things and I'm just like, hey, you know what? As long as you're going to paint them, I don't give a shit. And it kind of comes down to that with the whole counterfeiting thing is if the quality is good enough, you know. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not condoning counterfeiting. I'm merely saying that if someone decided to purchase, you know, an entire counterfeit, you know, fucking Space Marine army out of China. Let's be honest. There's going to be a typo on the box or two. Dreadnoughts. We can have a lot of fun with this R&L thing, can't we? Racism. When are you not funny? You know, if they're going to choose to do that, as long as they paint their shit, how am I to know where it came from? Do I know that you went down to the local G-Dub? Do I know that you bought it from China, from Europe, from wherever?
Cast it in your basement.
Yeah, cast it in your basement, whatever. Because, I mean, that's the thing is right now, today, everybody involved in this hobby is trying to find a deal on it. I mean, whether that's going down to neighbor stand where the prices are significantly lower and our dollar is, you know, significantly the same, whether that is, you know, ordering online from a discount retailer. I mean, everybody right now is looking for a deal simply because this shit is expensive. So, for me, while I'm not going to do it, if you are, go nuts. Just paint your shit. That's all I care about at the end of the day is if I'm going to go to a tournament and your shit is painted, I'm happy.
Don't you see the danger in the hobby? Like, you know, Belle of Lost Souls alluded to this danger. I mean, here's the question is, would counterfeiting and would these cottage industry kind of smaller casters or whatever, would that put GW out of business? Would it eat enough market share for them to say, you know what, we're not making this game anymore? Would it, like, I mean...
See, I don't think they would it would ever get to the point where they'd say we won't make this game anymore because they literally do nothing else. It's not like they have a licensing division or anything to just say, fine, we're just going to rake in money from all of our fucking licenses and fuck everyone else. To me, though, you know, I think the only danger there is with this counterfeiting is the fact that Games Workshop always knee-jerks the wrong way. So if they start losing sales to these counterfeiters, they're going to raise prices in order to offset lost sales.
Instead of opportunity for competition.
Exactly.
Saying,
you know, instead
we're
of...
either going to create better models that they cannot counterfeit, they cannot compare, or we lower our prices so that people say, well, it's $5 cheaper than those guys, but these guys are significantly nicer.
You know, exactly. So, I mean, like, I think that's the only danger is the fact that Games Workshop has proven in the past that they always go with the knee-jerk reaction, and it's always wrong. You know, they have never in their history gone with a decision, gone with an action, moved with the times, and had that be the right choice to make.
You don't think Finecast was the right choice?
Hey, no, not even a little bit. Because the other thing is they could have gone with many different resin supplements. I mean, look at fucking Forge World resin. Sure, it's brittle, but it's more detailed. And instead of doing a...
Let's filing that crap, we're going to get freaking...
We are all
cancer.
Going to get lung cancer from their aerosol sprays anyway. You know, but it's just one of those things where it's just like, rather than pulling all of the pewter and bringing it back to the warehouse, they could have just done a, hey, you know what, moving forward, starting with Dark Eldar, we have no pewter, it's all going to be fucking white resin, we're going to move forward in this medium. You know, we're not going to cast new pewter models, we're going to run through our stock, but instead, they fucked it up. You know, they did Finecast where they're just like, we're going to no pewter models for anyone ever, and that meant that if you played
they
Eldar...
supporting pewter building.
You know, Kyle, frequent guest host on the show, and, you know, guest host from last week, you know, when he was running his store, he was telling his trade rep, he's just like, so without pewter, how am I supposed to sell an Eldar army? They can't get an H, you know, or even Dark Eldar. There were no non-pewter Dark Eldar HQs. There were no non pewter Eldar HQs. Hell, with Eldar, you couldn't even get an Aspect Warrior. So it's just like, you know, Games Workshop does everything wrong. So, you know, they did Finecast wrong. They did this sort of European trade embargo wrong. They're raising their price. So it's just like, for me, I think the only danger with counterfeiting is if it gets big enough, it's going to take a big enough dent out of Games Workshop sales where the bean counters are going to say, raise the price again. And that's going to drive more people to the counterfeiters, and it's going to kind of be in this cycle of stupid. However, with that being said, like, you know...
Maybe, here's the big maybe. I mean, you know, everyone kind of knows how much Nathan and I love 3D movies. We hate them. But
the oatmeal said it best. 3D movies are to cinema what those magic eye posters are to literature.
I mean, I think, but like ultimately, it keeps you from pirating them. Like, you can't bring a camcorder into a 3D movie and really, like, and rip it off. You can't. Like, maybe Games Workshop will create a system.
Challenge accepted.
But maybe Games Workshop will create a system that, you know, I don't know. Makes it really impossible. Maybe they'll make models that are so nice, that are so detailed, that are so amazing, that you cannot counterfeit them. I mean, I guess that's a best case scenario.
You know, it's true. They might end up there one day. See, for me though, I don't know. Like, it's just, you know, it's hard to say what Games Workshop can do to counterfeit. I mean, like you said, I think what they really need to do is they need to stop charging outrageous, like, caviar-style prices. Because realistically, when we look at the cost of our hobby compared to anything else, even, like, Magic card players look at us and go, Jesus, I wouldn't spend that much money. Hey, by the way, I need 3 more cases of this new set because I want that one card. Like, it's just like, For fuck's sake. So, you know, we spend shitloads of money getting an army, you know, just buying an army, and then we spend all the time to build and paint it, which, hey, that's the hobby aspect, and I'm behind that. You know, that's what I spend most of my time doing
People, and look at yourself. People who are truly price sensitive aren't actually loyal to this game.
It's true.
You know, they will never be loyal to Games Workshop. They will never be, they will never be the kind of guy who says, you know what, the model is nice enough, I'll just buy it. If you're really price sensitive, if you're like, you know, people who really care about the price of cheese, they'll go to a different store because cheese costs cheaper at that store. You know,
gas is 1 cent cheaper a mile away. Let's take the drive.
They'll never attain them anyways. So I feel like bitching about prices isn't the issue here. I think the issue is Games Workshop providing value in their product, and is that value comparable to what's being offered elsewhere in the market? And for some models, I say absolutely. For other models, I say, well, obviously not. For other models, they're not even trying.
They phoned it in, Lamassu.
So I think ultimately, like with Games Workshop models, and I talk about, you know, I've talked about this before. I'm not gonna go out and buy two Prada handbags, but the hobby we are a part of is like the Prada handbag of the industry. You know, my RPGers and LARPer friends are like, what, how much have you spent on that? You know, for them to enter into their hobby, it's super cheap.
However, we don't look nearly as ridiculous as LARPers, so we have that on them. You know, that's a barrier to entry kind of cost. No, I get what you're saying, and you're absolutely right. You know, we are not price sensitive. You know, I mean, fuck, right now your typical 10-man Space Marine box costs $45. When I started playing, they cost $32. I mean, fuck, they've literally gone up almost 50% in price, and I've only bought more. Like, it's just, you know, fuck, that's going to be the case for me. As to this piracy, my only thing is, you know, like I said, if you as an individual are going to do it, go nuts. I mean, there are so many people right now that are looking for deals because they love the game, they love the universe, and they just can't afford it, specifically a lot of students. I mean, you know, if you believe Warseer, 99% of all people that play the game are university students that can't afford models, so give them a deal. Warseer. You know, but it's just like, that's the thing. So it's just like, I totally get that there are people that love the game and they want to keep playing and they don't have the money to pay Games Workshop's, you know, almost extortion level of prices. But hey, that's what you get when you have a monopoly. They have a monopoly on their own game. So pay it or go to China. like I said, as long as that shit's painted, Nathan not care. And I think that's what it comes down to. I won't do it. Maybe if there's enough people asking it and I can actually find the website, because I was looking for it before we came, so I could actually look and see what they're offering and actually make educated decisions, not Bell of Lost Souls style, the sky is falling kind of proclamations. You know, maybe if there's enough, I might order a box just to compare quality, do a side-by-side, make a blog post of it.
I've seen quality that comes out of China for other stuff.
Oh, it's not going to be good.
It's not good. Believe me when I say, if you're looking for this website to try to buy models, it will not be worth it to you to bet. Like, if you do not care what your models look like, you intend on dipping your model in glue and dipping it in green flock afterwards, yeah, go ahead.
Or you're the kind of guy that gave his Kroot Shaper 7 guns because it's awesome.
Awesome.
You know, you're that kind of guy where that's a really unique conversion.
I would never have thought of that.
Go nuts. You know, all the power to you.
With guys who have upside down, you know, Omega signs on the shoulder pads, or there's something messed up is going to look hilarious on them.
That is the truth.
It's going to look really funny, but, you know, that's what you're going to get. So if you're going to go looking for it, I'm not going to suggest it. The markets here are filled with really crappy handbags that are,
you know, my favorite was the dress you bought where the zipper was literally sewn inside out because the tag was on the inside, but the zipper was on the outside.
I think my favorite was the dress that I saw in the store where the buttons were hot glued on.
Ooh,
yeah,
hot
so
glue.
So you know the quality is not there. There's no love in the mall, and I think that's maybe the thing that differentiates these cottage industry casters. And I'll call them cottage industry. Some of them are really big, right? Like, you know, I'm not going to say that Chapter House is so big that he's
counter suing Games Workshop.
I mean, Games Workshop. Like, you know, I'm not going to say that they're cottage as small, but just as side industries. You know, that's the difference between those two, is ultimately people are buying from Chapter House because you still get quality. You still get a model that provides value. I just don't think the value is going to be in counterfeit models. You're not going to see it.
No, not at all. So, that brings us to the stupidity check. Now, normally it's guest host turn, but, you know, we did kind of spring the guest hosting on you.
As usual when I'm guest hosting.
We're 40 minutes. Hey, the only other time you got it sprung on, other times it'll just be like, hey, Terry, you want to guest host because you're here? And you'd be like, sure. The only time it was like straight up you have to do it was when I had the flu.
Yeah.
And I could do nothing but lay there and moan, but not in a sexy way. Just
yeah, more like a whiny baby sort of way. Very,
you
very unmanly.
That's the truth. That is the truth.
But I think, I don't know. I think in terms of stupidity checks, I never keep any in the back pocket. I did see Blood of Kittens. It was actually shared on Facebook as well. One of the better, I think probably one of the most truthful posters Photoshop posters where someone took one of those old posters of the chapters of the Astartes.
The chapters of the Imperium.
And Photoshopped.
So that like 60 of them were Grey Knights.
60 of them were Grey Knights and like 30 were Blood Angels and like 45 were Space Wolves.
And that was it. That was all. It was just like all over. Yeah. It actually was really good. I wouldn't call that a stupidity check.
I think people who take those armies thinking they're going to win. I feel like there's a saturation of that army. Everyone knows how to play them now, right? And I feel like the way you win tournaments is by being counter meta. And I've seen it so many times, right?
Well, you know, to be honest, I think winning a tournament is less about, you know, winning your games, and it's more about gaming the tournament. You know, I'm not even going to say comp system, but just like the tournament score thing. You know, because when you look at War Games Con. Mm-hmm. That's like, you know, if you're in the A side instead of the B side, your overall score is made up 91% generalship. That is an event that you will win only by winning games. You don't need to be a nice guy. In fact, you can get warned from the TOs and be on the verge of being ejected and still win best overall, you know, with your primed red and dipped, you know, kind of... Primed gold and dipped, you know, with a couple of sloppy red spots. You know, you will win best overall at an event like that. You know, so it's just like if you're going to win tournaments, I do, you know, I think that, you know, you want to look at the actual tournament system. But I know what you're saying, to win a lot of games at tournaments, because, I mean, you know, look when we stormed Throne of Skulls, the guy that was the most successful in terms of overall record at the end of the weekend was Mr. Johnny Wong with his 4 wins and 1 loss with his Corsero Con outflanking bike list of not that great, but fuck man, could he play it? Like, because it's just like you look at that list on paper, and if he were to post that on Warseer and just be like, this is the list I'm taking to Throne of Skulls, he would be flamed off of the site. Like, the servers would crash for how hard he would be flamed for posting a list like that. Yet, at the end of the day, he walks away as the most successful Space Marine player who lost out on the Best Space Marine Award by a single sportsmanship vote because the guy that was in second place got 3, whereas he got 2, which gave fucking Throne of Skulls fucked system. But either way, the most successful Space Marine player had the most fucked up off-the-wall list that people just did not know how to play against. So, I mean, there is merit in that.
I think that's ultimately it. But, you know, I think with any tournament you go, especially if you're a well-known general. And I mean, I think there are certain, in our community, there are a certain number of generals who are especially well-known, who are immediately recognized, who people just know they're very good.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know what army they're going to take, necessarily, right? Like, you never know what Paul LaRue is going to take to the next, you know, onslaught. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you never know.
It's Necrons.
It's Necrons.
Heyo.
If you take Dark Eldar, he won't take his Necrons.
Heyo. Yeah, but that would involve playing 40K. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to miss this next onslaught simply because it conflicts with Adepticon. That is 2 years in a row you've missed me, Ward. 2 years. No, but I mean, you know, let's get on to an actual stupidity check. I kind of mentioned it earlier in the podcast, so I'm really going to go back to it. And that has to be that Black Blow Fly from Bell of Lost Souls, who is supposedly one of their best generals up there with frickin' Nick Rose. I can't even remember Nick Rose's, the guy that made Leaf Blower. Darkwind, that was it. You know, with Darkwind and Goat Boy, and he's one of these guys that hangs, you know, supposed to be one of the best down there. And he is finally just now getting on board with an all-reserve Nid list. And so he's been posting this series of articles, and all I can think when I read them is this guy has to be fucking retarded. You know, and it's not about, you know, the all-reserve Nid list, because I play that list, and I win games with that list, and I've said it hundreds of times before. I have won more games with my Robin Crudace piece-of-shit codex than I ever did in 5th edition with the previous, you know, Tyranid codex written by Andy Chambers. But, you know, it's just one of those things where it's just like, the things he writes is just like retarded, where he's just like, you know, look, for 200 points, you can get like 3 Tyranid warriors in a drop pod. And I'm just like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, why would you take this? Or when he's like, you know, with Imgarl Gene Stealers, you always want to take +1 attack and +1 strength because +1 toughness is worthless. You'll never take it. And I'm just like, you know, look, I've had Imgarl Gene Stealers are always the MVPs of every game I ever play. And why? Because with +1 toughness, nothing ever fucking hurts them. Like, it's just like, it's just like, he's so stupid to the point where, you know, it's clear that he just kind of discovered this kind of list and he's still building it and he's either playing scrubs or, you know, like, it's just, he doesn't quite have the tournament experience because everything he's saying is just ridiculous. You know, and even people in the comments are calling him on it, where they're just like, what do you mean 250 points is cheap?
And here's what I'm going to throw out to you. One, I love that you made the whole stupidity check about your own Tyranid army. Well done. Two, hey. Don't go poo-pooing on my boyfriend Robin Credes, because I think he's awesome and he's doing Tau. Three.
So much for me ever wanting to do a Tau army.
Three, you know, we do have access to Mike Davey, who is known as Guglio,
yep,
on Bell of Lost Souls, who also posts really interesting, really in-depth tacticas on Tyranids. And I think it would be interesting for maybe you to reach out to him, because I know you guys have both discussed this at length, I'm sure. Like, what has he got to say about it?
All right, here. Oh, at the end, he agrees that Black Blow Fly is kind of stupid with most of his assessments. And as he said, when the Gene Stealer went up, because we actually went for lunch that same day, he was just like, oh, I was reading that article, and I was just like, Nathan's going to rage about this. Those were his exact words. Maybe we'll reach out to Mike, maybe get him to guest host in 1 week when Lang is down in Cowtown.
Or do a bonus episode for people who don't want to hear all about the two of yours,
Tyranids,
and how much the two of you hate Robin Crudace.
It's just like, if anyone thinks that I'm bad and I've gotten to the, you know, like the saturation point where you don't give a shit about hearing me say the word Tyranid anymore, I need you all to know that Mike Davey,
we love you, Mike.
And we love you, Mike, if you happen to listen. He's a sporadic listener. For, you know, he makes my level of disdain and bitching for Tyranids look like I'm an amateur. Like, he's in the pros. Like, you know, he is like fucking all-star league of the pros for how much just pure fucking hatred and disdain and animosity he has for the Tyranid Codex. And again, this is a guy where, using this Codex, I think he's won best overall 3 different tournaments with his Tyranid. So it's just like, you know, we are successful-ish generals with this book, you know, but we all just hate it. So maybe that is more of a bonus episode kind of thing. Maybe I'll just do a solo recording again so Lang doesn't have to hear it. Although I think oversaturating Lang would be hilarious, just to hear him get
just
drunker
groan.
And
all
drunker
he would do is groan
and
that
bitch,
whole
you know,
episode.
And bitch more and more. So maybe that is something we'll need to do. But yeah, you know, hey. You know, fucking stupidity check about my Tyranids, always.
Always, always, always.
It is always, always about my Tyranids. Hey, hear that, Third World.
So, just as a follow-up to a few episodes ago, how are you finding the Finecast toothbrush?
Oh, You mean that thing that I refused to buy because it was like a $12 toothbrush?
You know, I was kind of hoping they included it in the Mega Paint set.
You know, I was too, actually. Because before we took off, I was going through all of my paints, and I was just like, oh my god, I don't know if I have time to, you know, rewater and mix a lot of my drier ones. So we decided just to splurge by a Mega Paint set because it has
how,
the foams.
How do you find the paint set, actually? You can talk
a little bit. Hey, sure. Honestly, I think the Mega Paint set is fucking fantastic. You know, it is expensive. It was $300. But the fact that it has every single paint and wash, as well as paintbrushes, it does have Games Workshop brand white glue, because you can't get that anywhere else.
PVA glue. PVA
oh, yeah, that's right. PVA glue.
It's not just regular white glue, okay, Nathan?
This is a specialized hobby material.
Special hobby glue.
You know, that and the four different flocks. You know, I think, you know, like I said, it's fantastic, especially if you are at the point where a lot of your paints are starting to dry and you're going to need to make a big paint purchase to replace a lot of your colors. But for me, what I love most about it is not the fact that it comes in a hard case, and it does. It's, you know, I basically got a free GW small hard carrying case with it.
Those are the best ones.
Which are the best ones. If you're going to buy a GW case, buy those ones. If you need something bigger, go elsewhere. We talked about different cases like Battle Foam and Sable and all that. But it comes with pre-cut foam trays that fit every one of your paints. And so, like I said, that's what I love about it is, for me now, it actually gives me something there. If I'm going to be bringing just sort of a small unit of like 3, 4, 5 guys, I can put the foams back in that case, and I can take out like the flock and shit and put models there. So, I mean, that's what I love about it actually is those pre-cut foam trays, because they're just fucking useful. I don't lose paints. I don't, you know, they're not rolling around. And we were able to fly halfway across the world with Air Canada of all luggage kickers in the world and not have a single paint leak. Or
wouldn't that be Air Country Stan?
Air Country Stan. You know it. You know, but so, I mean, it's just like, you know, we flew, I checked all my paints and my models and some foam trays. My models had some minor breaks, only on the Demonettes because they're so thin and spindly as it is. I mean, you look at some of those poses and they'll fall apart. But, no, I think the Mega Paint set is worth it, but only if you are going to need to, replace a lot of your existing paints as is. So if you're gonna be looking at dropping $100 to $200 on paints anyway, just wait and pick up a Mega Paint set.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I think that's pretty close to time.
Yeah, we're a bit early, but you know,
a little short.
Ocean.
There's a beach, and you may have picked up some of the sound of the breeze coming off of there. So it's just very, very tempting for us to go for a dip. And it's almost noon now, so it's quite warm out here. Not to brag or anything.
But, yeah, sure was, like, cold when we left, wasn't it? You know, like what, minus 20?
Minus 20? Minus, like, 2 feet of snow on the ground, I hear.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, tough to be back there, isn't it? And, you know, and this really last bit is mostly for Lang, because he's going to be editing this, putting the intro and outro on. So, if this gets posted late, it is Lang's fault. We did record early. He is sick. Send all animosity towards him. if it is posted on time, that was because I gave him enough of a kick in the ass that it was all my goodwill and...
No. You can take the credit.
Oh, yeah. I will take the credit if it is posted on time. Lang can take the fall if it is late. Because, you know, his illness of needing to level his Sith, whatever it is, on Old Republic. Go to hell, sir. I cannot play it until I am back.
Yeah, we got the email the day we left. We were in Vancouver Airport checking our email.
And it was just like, hey, why don't you download the game client so you're ready? And I was just like, you motherfuckers. And then, the first time I logged in, checked my email after we landed... I get the whole, hey, you've been selected for early game access. Just enter your code and you're good to play. And I was just like, you motherfuckers.
At least Diablo 3 didn't get released too.
Yo, good lord, that's the truth.
But I think we're also going to throw out there, if you are expecting episodes next couple weeks.
So, yeah, for those of you that are good with calendars and math, next week is Christmas. We ain't gonna release shit. You know, so you will actually have to spend time and talk with your relatives. You can't spend an hour holed up drinking in the dark. You'll have to drink with them. My condolences. And the week after is New Year's. We may do something for New Year's, but probably not. So that might be another one of those.
We'll post up a picture of what Nathan bought for $100 here.
Yes.
And what we'll be.
I will post that on the group. $100 of fun. Good Lord, I love the third world. Everything is so cheap.
It's counterfeit, though. Hopefully.
Counterfeit fireworks should go off the same as regular fireworks, am I right? But anyway, that is Jada Gamercast for this week. My name is Nathan.
This is Terry.
See you later. Cheers.
Cheers.